knowledge, as we have studied the commandments, none of us, even the holiest in this life, have anything more than a small beginning of the obedience the Lord requires of us. None of those converted to God can keep these commandments perfectly. So we would have them preached pointedly and continually so that we continually recognize our need for Christ. Acknowledge our sin and our need for Christ. And so that the longer we live, the more eagerly we look to Christ and never stop striving while continuing in prayer, looking for His blessing, for His help. And so we're coming to what the Catechism does with prayer. It's going to lead us into a study of the Lord's Prayer, but there is, first of all, an introductory Lord's Day in Lord's Day 45. We're turning together first to James chapter 4. It was my mistake to leave the scripture passage from last Lord's Day in that section of scripture. It should be James chapter 4. We begin reading at verse 13, page 1389 in the Pew Bibles, 1389, James chapter 4. We begin at verse 13. This is the word of God. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is sin or is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted. And your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You've heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You've lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You've fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You've condemned. You've murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. I'll just direct our attention once again to verse 16. Particularly the latter portion of it, but confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I urge you to keep your Bibles open here to James chapter 5, and then turn with me as well to our response to God's Word, our confessional summary, the Heidelberg Catechism, and its teaching on prayer. And you may find that in the Forms and Prayers books, if you have that, on page 252, 252, and otherwise in the back of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal on page 893. We're looking at Lord's Day 45 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 45. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself to us in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask of him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation, even though we do not deserve it. God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. What has God commanded us to ask of him? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. What is this prayer? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May God bless what we see in Scripture as summarized for us here on the matter of prayer. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, again the language from James 4 verse 16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's an encouragement, and I suspect it's also a challenge. How effective are our prayers? How fervent is our praying? I need to confess that whenever I come to subjects like this and passages like the one before us, I am indeed humbled with regard to fervency. And because of failing, because of neglect in the realm of fervency, there is a corresponding failure in terms of efficacy or effectiveness. Right? We know what that's all about. We want to be able to pray effectively. We want to be encouraged and equipped to pray fervently. And we understand that as we come to the subject of prayer, we're not looking for gimmicks. We're not looking for specific words that are going to help us pray. Now, indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the Lord's Prayer, and there are places simply to pray the Lord's Prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the only reason Jesus has given us the Lord's Prayer. He's not given us the Lord's Prayer merely to recite it in some sort of rote, mechanical, robotic fashion. He's also given us the Lord's Prayer that we might learn the blessing and the privilege of prayer. We return, as we do about every 2 years in this cycle, to the study of the Lord's Prayer. And we do so with the conviction, I believe it's Romans 8, verse 26. We do not know how to pray as we ought. We still do not know how to pray as we ought. Now we know enough. I don't want us to be beaten down. I want us to be encouraged. We know enough to know our help comes from the Lord. We know enough to be confident that we may call God our Father. The Father who loves us, the Father who will bless us, the Father who knows what we need. But we want to be more effective. At least I do. I wish I were more fervent. And as we'll see together, we're going to try to plumb a little bit some of the things that stand behind what James was talking about in his reference to Elijah, who was a man like us, who prayed and it did not rain for 3.5 years. You can find that account in 1 Kings chapter 17. Then after those 3.5 years, he prayed again. And we're going to look at the manner in which he prayed in a moment. And it did rain. And the point is, there's something for us to learn from Elijah. But let me sort of warn you up front, or maybe help you not to be coming at this with misplaced expectations. I do not have for you, steps that you should take, or an easy format that you should follow, or if you just pray like Elijah did, as we'll see in 1 Kings 18, verse 41 and following, 7 times he went back and prayed and put his head between his knees. Is that how we should pray? Well, again, not the precise posture. We're looking for easy answers. But what we want is to be fervent and effective in our praying. What we want is, I believe, what the Catechism gives us in summary in question and answer 117. How does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? God's not looking for long prayers. God's not looking for big words. God's not looking for us to try to be impressive to those around us. Jesus warned very plainly about that in Matthew 6, verse 11. He warned about those who love to be dressed in long robes and to be seen in the marketplaces, and who were known for their many words in prayer, who for a show, for a pretense, made long prayers. Now, again, we might misunderstand that and say we should never pray long prayers. That's not the point. We should never pray for show. We should never pray for others to be impressed. We should pray from the heart. And that's where the catechism is going. That's the first part it says in answer to 117. How must we pray so that he will listen to us? We must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God. And the outline of my thinking here this afternoon and the three points that we have before us basically reflect the outline of answer 117. First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God. So the first point, we are crying out to God. Crying out for God's gracious provision. Then in the second place, communing in God's glorious presence. So that's second in the catechism. We must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. And then third, the third point, confident in God's good promises. We must rest on this unshakable foundation, even though we do not deserve it. God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. So first, we must pray from the heart. And we must ask for everything he has commanded us in his word. And answer 118 fleshes that out just a little bit more. It says, what are we to pray for? Well, everything. Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Jesus has taught us. What do you need? What do you need? Well, we need food and clothing. We need bread on the table. In this cold climate, when the Arctic winds come down over from Alberta, we need a warm house in which to live. These are our needs. We need help. We need strength. We need wisdom that comes from above. The book of James is helpful in that regard. It tells us we should pray for wisdom that is first of all pure, then peaceable. And if we lack wisdom, James chapter 1, we should ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, without saying, why didn't you ask sooner? Can't believe you haven't asked me before. We need wisdom. We need guidance. We need strength. We need forgiveness. We need Jesus. Jesus has taught us in John 15, verse 5, apart from me, you are nothing. You can do nothing. We need Jesus. James has laid out a number of the things that commit us to prayer in what we've read in James chapter 5 at verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone among you cheerful? I need to praise God. I need to give him the glory. I need to express my joy. Sing psalms. Those are prayers too. Is anyone among you sick? Verse 14. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. We need each other. We need the church community. We need the prayers of God's people. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We need forgiveness. We need the mercy that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in him alone. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. There's an order and an encouragement in what we are taught to sing. In Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities, number one. He heals all your diseases, number two. Now the blessing of walking in sweet communion with God and living a life of heartfelt prayer and dependence upon Him, is that we may know the blessing of forgiveness and have peace with God. That's what we need. That's what we pray for. Healing is also promised, but that will come in God's own good time, according to God's good and perfect will. We will experience ultimate healing when God makes all things new in the new heavens and the new earth. But the blessing of forgiveness as the priority we can know today, that's what we need. We need strength for the battle. We need wisdom to be faithful in the midst of the challenges of our day. What Paul in Philippians 2 verse 13 and following, 14 and following, would call a crooked and perverse generation. Right? In the midst of these days, we need to shine forth as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I need help with that. Don't you? And so we pray. We pray earnestly for God's strength, wisdom, courage, that we may stand up against the tide, that we may be who we are called to be, that we may proclaim His name. You think of Elijah. Let's just look at 1 Kings chapter 17. No doubt, if you know anything about Elijah, you know that initially he went with great fear and trembling to Ahab, the wicked king. But 1 Kings 17 verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite, one of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Now, Elijah needed to say those words, reflecting his prayer that it would not rain. He needed to say those words to wicked Ahab, whose wife was perhaps even more wicked, Jezebel, at the peril of losing his life. Yet with his fear and trembling, that's what he was enabled to do. Because he had this sense. He says, "As the Lord God of Israel lives," that's like an oath formula, "and before whom I stand in the presence of God." You're not going to have that kind of courage if you're seeking to stand in your own strength, unless you're a complete fool. But you're going to have that kind of courage if you're a man of prayer. You're going to have the courage you need to be faithful only if you ask for it. Only by prayer. Jesus has told us, "Ask and you will receive." Now, James has a bit of a reflection on that. In James 4, just prior to where we were reading from, James 4 verse 3, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." But the implication is, you should ask. And you should ask with a passion for the glory of God. We ask with a sense that we live before the face of God, just like Elijah, "Before whom I stand before God, and I need your strength, I need your wisdom, I need your courage in order to be faithful. I'm not going to make it in my own strength." I want to do all these things in humble dependence upon God. We've heard the commandments, and we know our ongoing struggle, and so we never stop praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit. What do we need? We need Jesus, and we need the ministry of His Holy Spirit. Prayer is a humble acknowledgement. We are weak. We're not going to make it. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the first part of the catechism, the first question and answer in this Lord's Day is assuring us God gives His grace and His Holy Spirit to those who ask. To those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. Sadly, we have to acknowledge, don't we? Many times we do not have because we do not ask. What do we need? We cry out to God for His gracious provision. Those who pray continually and with heartfelt longing, who sigh and groan. We know the references in Scripture that speak to us of what it is to cry out to God. Psalm 145 speaks about those who cry out to God in their distress, and He will hear their cry and He will save them. Romans 8 that speaks to us, I've referenced 8 verse 26 in the acknowledgement, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, in sighs and groans that are too deep for words. Do you know what it is to groan before God in earnest, humble, helpless expectation? My help comes from You, O Lord. I need You. I cannot live apart from You. This is the cry. Now, as I mentioned, we don't necessarily need to copy Elijah's posture, his prayer posture, or his mannerisms. But I think we are helped in terms of the urgency of the cry, of the sighs and groans too deep for words that ought to reflect our sense of need before God in what we read in 1 Kings 18, verse 41. 1 Kings 18, verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. 3.5 years it did not rain, and I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. People would look up in the sky, what are you talking about? Things are as dry and as arid as they've ever been. And Elijah is able to say, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. 7 times. Elijah went up Mount Carmel, put his face between his knees and cried out to God. And it came to pass the 7th time. And he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Elijah prayed again. But he prayed with an urgency, didn't he? That was born out of need. 7 times. His face between his knees. It's reflecting what we're being taught here in terms of the cry to God in our need. I need Jesus. I cannot live without Him. I need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And with sighs and groans, we go to God and we are encouraged that He will hear. Crying out for God's gracious provision. Secondly, communing in God's glorious presence. Communing in God's glorious presence. We had as our call to worship the words of Isaiah 66, verse 2. I believe it's referenced with regard to the proof text listed under number 2 in our catechism. Isaiah 66, verse 2. The Lord says, on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. We fully recognize our need and misery. I recall an older translation of this, I believe, as I learned it earlier on in my life. Hiding nothing. I am fully aware of my need and my misery. And I'm humbled in God's majestic presence. But you understand, boys and girls, do you understand what it is to pray? We are in God's majestic presence. We are sinful and unworthy, undeserving. But those who are of a poor and contrite spirit and who tremble at God's word can be amazed at the blessing that we may enjoy fellowship with the living God. We may see prayer as an opportunity to visit in heaven at the throne of grace, at the throne of the King of the universe. We are humbled, yes, but we are amazed. Amazed to be in His presence. He knows everything about us. He knows the secret thoughts and intents of our hearts. As we've sung from Psalm 139, previous services leading up to this one, before a word is on my tongue, He knows it altogether. Whither can I go from your spirit? Hiding nothing. There's nothing to hide. We lay it all before the Lord and we are amazed that the Lord is pleased to receive us as His dear children. That's an amazing, amazing privilege. So we're able to say with an Elijah, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand. How do we stand? How can we stand in the majestic presence of God? Because of Jesus. Catechism will get back to that in a moment. Because of Jesus. Since we are justified by faith, Romans 5 verse 1, we have peace with God. Through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by this grace in which we stand. You understand what a wonderful privilege it is? And that's why any sort of questions or any sort of excuses, I think I would use them as excuses more often. You know, I'm a little too lazy to pray and not that passionate about what needs to be prayed for. God's going to work it out anyway. How often haven't we thought that way? I certainly have. God will do what God will do. God is sovereign and God is wise. Let it be. Now, whereas there is a truth to the fact that God will do what God will do, this God in whose majestic presence we get to stand, delights to be inquired of. This God wants to hear our prayers. This God welcomes us. He beckons us to come into His majestic presence and bring our struggles. Hiding nothing. Acknowledging our need and our misery. Humbled in His majestic presence. But He says, you come. This is the blessing that we're speaking of. That we may commune in God's majestic presence. Prayer isn't just about getting stuff from God. Prayer isn't just about trying to arm wrestle God so we get our way. Prayer is the privilege of coming to know this God with a sense of awe, a growing sense of awe. With a poor and contrite spirit, we tremble at His word. We tremble with awe. We tremble with joy and gladness. We may stand before Him. We may know that He hears us, that He loves us. Our Father knows what we need. We may commune in His glorious presence. Finally, we may be confident in God's good promises. The last part, the third thing in answer 117 of the Catechism. We must rest. We get to rest on this unshakable foundation, even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer. That's what he's promised. And he will listen because of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. See, prayer is not bringing shopping lists to God. I need this, 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 and that. Prayer is the blessing of communing with the God of the universe through the glory and beauty of his precious Son. In the strong confidence that he hears when we pray. Now, we pray to the one true God, the God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's revealed himself in his word. So we learn how to pray from his word. We pray according to the promises of his word. The Lord has not promised us a mansion on the hilltop. The Lord has not promised us a fancy sports car. But the Lord has promised everything we need as a father who loves us. The Lord has promised the blessing of salvation. And so we learn to pray according to the word. That's why learning to love the Psalms, to use an expression, is so helpful and encouraging in terms of even knowing how to pray to God. He gives us his words to pray. When we pray according to the word of God, we may know he hears us. And when we know who this God is and what he's like, we may also be content to know he will answer us in his good time, according to his good and perfect way, working all things together for our good. Sometimes it may not be what we thought we wanted. But I can assure you, it will be better. Now, it may not feel like that in the moment. But the confidence that we have, knowing that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, means that God will answer our prayers in the very way we would have asked if we knew everything he knew. And he's good. And he's wise. He will surely listen to our prayer. But these words ought to ring in our ears as a great encouragement, because of Christ our Lord. Because of Christ our Lord. And as we think about, as we bring our prayers to the Lord, what this hope means, it means, of course, we usually pray in Jesus' name, and we pray for Jesus' sake. Ask anything in my name, and I will give it. It's what the Lord says, Jesus says in John 14, 15, and 16. We could say it this way. We need to learn how to pray in such a way that we know that if Jesus himself were asking for this, the Father would be pleased to give it. It helps us think through our prayers. It also helps us to know that God knows what he's doing because of Christ, his Son. We don't deserve to be heard by God, but because of Christ, his Son, we boldly go. Sometimes we will struggle with God in prayer. And that's a good thing. The crying and the groaning, the sighs and the tears, reflecting an urgency as we've seen in Elijah. But the bottom line is, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ, his Son. What an encouragement that is. What a challenge and a welcoming indictment, you could say, of the fact that too often we have not received because we have not asked. Let that not be said of us. when we understand what is clearly told us here about prayer and its privilege and God's purposes and power. Now, just before we close, we may be thinking to ourselves, but I'm no Elijah. None of us are. None of us lived in those particular times. None of us had to face Ahab particularly, or his wife Jezebel. None of us are in that sense a prophet who would speak, thus says the Lord, as Elijah did as an Old Testament prophet. All of those things are true. We're not Elijah. But that's not what James is talking about, is it? James is not appealing to the fact, you know, Elijah, the prophet, you know, Elijah, the word bearer, you know, Elijah, the bold guy. If you know anything about his struggles, you know, he wasn't a bold guy. He had his own issues. But what is James saying? James 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed. Now, probably the Lord isn't asking any of us to get on our knees and pray that we're not going to have rain in Canada for 3.5 years. No, we're not Elijah. But he was a man like us. A man or a woman, a boy or a girl. The prayers, effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. Are you righteous? Now we've sung from Psalm 66, if in my heart I sin, regard my prayer, he will not hear. But Psalm 66 goes on in the words we've sung, but he has answered my prayer. Yeah, there's a check for us. If we're holding on to sin, if we're not listening, careful to listen, not concerned, not interested in listening to the word of God, that moment he's not interested in listening to us. But as we seek with his help, Lord, I want to be faithful. I need the wisdom that comes from above. I need help. I need your spirit. I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. God is pleased to answer those prayers. He delights to do so. And he hears you because you're righteous. What does that mean? What were those words? The words the Catechism has summarized for us: because of Christ our Lord. Because of Christ our Lord, we may come boldly to the throne of grace for our help in our time of need. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious, faithful, loving, kind, sovereign, powerful, majestic God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we may come to you. We thank you that you receive us in grace and in love. We thank you, you give us what we need. We need forgiveness. We need Jesus. We need help. We need the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And so we pray. Teach us to pray for everything. Everything we need, physically and spiritually, as you've taught us in your word. Teach us to pray earnestly for the well-being of the church, for the mission of the gospel, for the challenges we face day in and day out, for our struggles, our fears, our concerns, for our families, for our loved ones, for our neighbors. Lord, we have so many needs. Make us a people of fervent and effective prayer. We praise you that according to your promise, you hear us. Because of Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.